Welcome to Feedback Friday. I'm your host, Jordan Harbinger, and I'm here with producer Jason DeFilippo. Here on the Jordan Harbinger Show, we love having conversations with our fascinating guests. And this week, we had Ryan Mickler talking about why men generally are our own worst enemy, and Annie Duke talking about how to think in bets, thinking in percentages, concrete decision-making tactics. Really, really interesting shows. Of course, our primary mission is to pass along their guests and our knowledge and experiences and insights to you. In other words, the real purpose of the show is to have these conversations directly with you. And that's what we're going to do today here on Feedback Friday. You can reach us at friday@jordanharbinger.com. And by the way, we've been getting a lot of, let's just say, very detailed questions. If you can keep it very concise, that usually helps, because we've got people going through and screening these. And if it's 3 pages long, it's not going to happen. We have to edit these before they go into the copy here. And if it's already concise, great. It increases your chances of getting your question answered. So it's a balance. More is not always better. Friday@jordanharbinger.com is where that's at. And we will try to get to everybody, which is impossible, but we do try. Also, we have an Alexa skill, Jason. Have you been messing with this at all?
I've got it installed. I actually check it out every morning. And nice. We're doing some upgrades on it soon, too. So we're going to be adding new clips and new little bits to it. So definitely you're going to want to check it out to get some of the best of with your morning breakfast.
And where can they install that?
You go to jordanharbinger.com/Alexa, and that will redirect you to the Amazon site where you can actually do the installation of the skill right there. Or you can search on your Alexa app for Jordan Harbinger, and we're going to be the only one that comes up, and you can install the skill right there, and it'll be part of your daily briefing.
Cool. All right. Jason, what's the first thing out of the mailbag?
Jordan, I'm an attorney who used to drive nice Lexuses and BMWs. I don't know if they're Lexuses. Should they be Lexi?
I think they should be Lexi, yes.
So after crashing my last BMW, I sold it and took over my wife's Honda Accord hybrid lease. But he loves it. It's got every gadget imaginable, and it comes with some other benefits like not going fast enough for me to speed and get tickets.
Or crash.
Yeah. Or crash, yeah. I cut this out, but he apparently got 10 speeding tickets in his last BMW. So
That's ridiculous.
Is good that he has an Accord.
Yeah.
Now, though, my law partner wants me to get a new car because my Accord isn't lawyerly enough. I tested some of the usual fare of Lexus, Mercedes, and BMW, but still like my Accord more. And clients rarely see my car, so if I have a newer, cleaner car, I should be just fine, right? Do I really need to get a lawyer car? Thanks. Love my non-lawyer car.
So I understand both sides of this argument. And some of the stuff that we cleaned up was his boss is like, you can't show up in this Honda Accord, right? He's a little pretentious. And I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. I understand that you shouldn't have to buy a car to impress people. But the reality is, a lot of times people make judgments based on the car. And it does not matter in most industries. But if they're looking at you as a professional that they're going to hire, it may matter. Now, what this means is not that you should buy a lawyer car, even though you love your Accord. And what it means is not that you have to keep one around. I would say use an app like Turo, T-U-R-O. And where if you go to jordanharbinger.com/Turo, T-U-R-O, well, they'll give you $25 in rental credit. You can rent great cars, and I mean pretty much like anything. You can rent some crazy $400,000 Ferrari if you want to. You can have fun with it for a day. You can bring it to meetings. It's really the best of both worlds. His point, your partner's point, is valid that some people make judgments, but it's not worth investing in their judgment as a way of life. Obviously, since this is so important to your partner, I think he should be comfortable allowing you to bill the cost of a daily rental to your law firm. That's what I think. I don't know if he's going to go for that because he probably bought his own car. But you should go to jordanharbinger.com/Turo, T-U-R-O, get that rental credit, take that for a spin, no pun intended, and see if you like the cars there. Because look, they're not a sponsor of the show or anything, but this is a discount code I've set up because I realize a lot of you might want to try to rent out some high-end cars. You might as well get a discount. And if you've got a bunch of meetings in a day, rent out a car you've always wanted to test drive, show up to the meeting, everyone will be so impressed, your partner and the client, and then you got this cool car for the rest of the day, but you don't have to spend $200,000 or $100,000 on a car and, you know, $1,000 a month on insurance. So it's the best of both worlds, in my opinion, because as much as we don't like to admit that sometimes these things matter, sometimes these things matter.
And I'm going to say, in a pinch, if he does have to show up in the Accord, say, hey, it's my wife's birthday and I let her take the Jaguar today.
Total lie.
He's a lawyer. He should be used to it.
Oh, burn. Hashtag burn. All right, next up.
Hi, Jordan. I grew up holding high standards for myself and others around me. For example, if a waiter isn't doing a good job, I would straight up tell them that something is just not acceptable and exercise my consumer rights. This kind of firmness sometimes worked, but it usually created a lot of stress for me as I struggled to understand why people didn't have the same work ethics that I did.
I'm just going to stop you right here. That already sounds kind of annoying.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I mean, Continue. Maybe I'm being judgy.
As I grew more successful with my career and had to be more aware of the quote-unquote softer skills, such as influence, persuasion, and leadership, I think I got better at influence for the win-win result while being nice. However, at times, I still struggle on whether to be friendly or firm. I have a tenant who is 3 days late paying their rent in the second month of a new contract. I'd been busy with work travel, so I just only got around to checking it. I sent him a polite email to ask him to rectify the situation, and he responded relatively quickly to apologize and explain that there was an admin error on their part, but stipulates that the payment has been made and it won't happen again, but he didn't include any proof of the payment. This was around 24 hours ago, and I just checked my account. The payment hasn't been made.
Oh.
Now, I should mention that in the UK, there is the faster payment system where all interbank transfers are made instantaneously. This means that with 99% certainty, he's lied and at the very least hasn't yet made the payment, even if he intended to. How would you handle the situation in this case? Would you be friendly and assume that he was genuine and that there was just a mistake? Or risk him thinking that he may be able to get away with this type of behavior all the time in the future? Or would you take a more firm approach and use legal wordings to make sure this doesn't happen again? Now, I have landlord insurance, so I'm slightly less worried about the actual outcome. It did, however, make me wonder how I should handle these types of situations when there's a strong likelihood that the other party is taking you for a ride or appearing to be testing boundaries. What should be the best response? Thank you very much, and please keep up your good work. Yours, firm or friendly.
So I know that there's all this new agey wisdom where it's like, oh, always be friendly. Always. You can always have positive conflict resolution. Here's the truth. The science does not bear that out. We interviewed Todd Kashdan. That episode's coming out in a few weeks. And his book, The Upside of Your Dark Side, talks about when anger is more effective and appropriate. And there's science behind this stuff. I would say with business stuff like this, the one strike rule, one time I'll let it slide to see what's going on. But I will absolutely confront them about it later on if they don't make the payment. If they get away with this stuff, it'll become a habit and they'll keep pushing. So if this happens again anytime in the next, let's say, 6 to 12 months, you should be very firm with them once again. Now, the thing that gives me pause, I mentioned this a little bit in the beginning, is the whole, if a waiter isn't doing a good job, I'll tell them about my consumer rights. I gotta be frank. This sounds a bit ridiculous. I'm not sure if things are maybe different over there in the UK. Here, if a waiter isn't doing a good job, it affects their tip. If they're downright rude or terrible, you can ask for a manager, but I just cannot see any situation where telling a waiter about your legal rights would actually get any other result other than
some extra DNA in your soup.
Exactly. Exactly. It's hard for me to tell if you're always too firm and that this is annoying to other people. But in any case, if someone's late with a payment in your business, and make no mistake, being a landlord is a business, then you should treat it like a business and be firm right off the bat after perhaps one attempt at being more understanding. If you really do think your tenant is lying, confront them about it. Make damn sure that you get paid on time, or they're going to continue to take you for a ride in the future as well. Jason, I could never be a landlord, man. Someone would get hurt.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you missed one payment. We'll let it slide once. Next time, baseball bats in the parking lot.
I know. I'm just like, okay, look, if you're going to be late, just tell me and tell me why. And if it's, look, I broke my wrist and I got no insurance, I understand. But if you're just lazy or you bought Xbox, I will make sure that you are not my tenant for long. That sounds so annoying. You're just babysitting people who have no sense of responsibility when you have a bum tenant like this. Ugh.
Yeah, the problem is a lot of the time the legal rights go with the tenant and not the landlord.
I know.
So that's the main reason I couldn't be a landlord, is it puts you on unbelievably unequal footing.
Especially in California, New York, etc. Yeah,
definitely.
It's a double-edged sword, man. This episode is sponsored in part by HostGator. You gotta have a stable place on the internet you can call home. A place you can send people to find you no matter what website is popular this week or if the social media decides now you gotta pay to reach everybody who wants to hear from you. That's why we recommend HostGator's website builder. You can spend an afternoon and create a professional looking feature packed website. Throw your photos up on there, your restaurant menu, your personal resume, whatever it is you want to do. There's no coding. It doesn't mysteriously break because PC load letter or whatever, right? It works. It's got the cool kind of drag and drop. What you see is what you get interface. You can choose from over 100 mobile friendly templates. So the site's going to look good on your phone, on the tablet, on the desktop, PC, Mac. It's not going to make a difference. It's going to look like a website should. And there's add-ons, SEO, PayPal, and it's up all the time, or at least 99.9% of the time, guaranteed. And they've got customer support 24/7, 365. So if you're a night owl, go ahead and make your site at night. They'll help you get through it. They're also giving us up to 62% off all their packages for new users. Go to HostGator.com/Jordan right now to sign up. That's HostGator.com. That's HostGator.com/Jordan. This episode is also sponsored by Microsoft Teams. Microsoft Teams is your hub for teamwork in Office 365. What does that even mean? It means that Teams is a digital workspace where, you guessed it, Teams can create, collaborate, and communicate just like they would in the real world. This is great if you run a business where people work from home. It's great if you run a business with people in disparate offices. With so much to look after in your work life already, wouldn't it be great if there was just one place online to look? Teams is that single workspace where you can work, share, connect with the people in your work life. It'll bring together your chats, your meetings, your files, your apps, all in one place. Take teamwork where you work with your app for mobile and desktop. So whether you're sprinting towards a deadline, sharing your next big idea, Teams can help you and your team achieve even more. Microsoft Teams and Office 365. To learn more, head over to office.com/teams. All right, what's up next?
Hi, Jordan. I was planning a drive from the Bay Area to Santa Barbara and emailed a friend in Paso Robles to meet up for some FaceTime. It's a 6-hour drive and he's halfway, so we don't get this chance very often. Since I was passing by in the morning, he suggested a place to meet for breakfast. As we were winding down, the server placed the check on the table saying, "When you are finished, please pay at the register." So I couldn't just throw my credit card on the table. He ended up paying, but it seemed awkward. I did a quick tally in my mind, and it was 3-2 in favor of him paying, so I didn't fight for the check. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a little strange,
yeah.
Right there. Instant scorekeeping.
Yeah, good point.
It was okay for him to pay for three reasons. One, it was his hometown and suggestion. It wasn't the Four Seasons and the bill was small. Second, I've sent him lots of business. And third, his firm would ultimately pick up the tab. Now, I should have paid for these two reasons. First, it was my suggestion to meet up. Second, he's my go-to CPA for accounting questions. Now, when I lived on Maui, this was so much easier because the rule is simple. The check is never split, and the person who was treated is obligated to reciprocate, so this ensures that you will do it again. I did send him a Christmas gift, so the score is settled on this matter, but I anticipate meeting up with him again when I'm driving past. What are the rules here on the mainland? Cheers, Nickel and Dimer at the diner.
Nice, yeah. Are the rules that different from Hawaii to the mainland? I don't know. I guess I don't spend enough time in Maui. But yeah. I like her rationale. It's his hometown. It was his suggestion for the place. She sent him a lot of business. His firm's going to write it off. So it's lead gen, business development, whatever. But
she's the one that initiated the conversation and asked for the meetup.
That's okay. It's not like she went into it going, I bet he'll take me to this really nice place if I suggest meeting up. It doesn't really matter. I mean, yeah. That's more of a, hey, I'd like to dedicate some time to meeting you in person because we have this business relationship. I wouldn't say that's a very strong suggestion. I don't really think it's that big of a deal. I think this is all sort of break even. It's 6 of 1, half dozen of the other for this.
Yeah.
So the way that I handle this all the time is if they insist on paying, if it's their suggestion and we're meeting at their place, whatever it is, I'll say, thank you so much. I'll get the next one. So I'm not really obligated to respond. There might not even be a next one because it might be somebody that I see once every 3 years or something. It doesn't really matter. And I let them pay. Or I'll say, I got this one. You get the next one. Again, even if there's no next one. The reason that this works is it levels everything out. It's, oh, okay. I'm going to get the next one. It really doesn't matter. It makes everybody feel fine about it. So if you want to insist on paying, go for it. If they insist on paying, fine. You can just say, I'll get the next one. It moves the relationship forward. It future projection always builds a little bit of comfort. I'll get the next one means we will meet again in the future. This was a worthwhile investment in a relationship that's continuing. Regardless of whether or not that ends up happening logistically, it's great. And it so gets rid of the guilt. You don't have to think about who's going to pay. It's just whoever thinks they should. And you don't fight over it. If someone insists, let them pay and say you'll get the next one. It really lightens the load. And frankly, I don't see any reason why it matters who pays 99% of the time anyway.
Yeah, but it's a nice responsibility reset.
Exactly.
So nobody has to feel bad on either end of the table, especially if somebody ordered a double moons over my hammy at breakfast. You know, it's not really worth getting your knickers in a bunch about.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Next up.
Dear Jordan, I'm 24 and live on the west coast of Canada. Last year, I ended things with my husband after 4 years together. It was a get married for the wrong reason situation, even though we did love each other very much. Now that I've gone through the grieving process, essentially all winter long, and only had minor flings, I'm definitely still adjusting. I would like some advice as far as direction with traveling abroad now that I'm single. I'd like to do a Europe trip, which I'm thinking about doing in the short term, but I'm mainly interested in going to Australia for a year. I love my job, I work for an airline, but I don't have that home feeling where I live, as beautiful as it is. I'm a bit torn whether I should gradually travel using my benefits because that enables me to visit my family easily or just move. I've already downsized all of my things and it would be very easy to store. Any wisdom would be super appreciated. I've obviously been through a lot recently and now everything is up in the air. I'm trying to look at this as an opportunity, as scary as it can be at times. Thank you so kindly. Directionally challenged divorcee.
Oh man, 24 and divorced. Okay, there's an upside to this.
Big
well.
Upside.
Yeah, exactly. The common refrain that I have here on the show that I know people have heard on Feedback Friday is you'll never have less responsibility than you do now. You will never have less responsibility than you do now, especially if you're 24. It's a great time to travel for a few years and take advantage. Settling down is great, but you already tried that too early. Now you got to get some of this stuff out of your system before it's time for you to settle down again and have kids if that's what you decide to do. And it's going to look scary, but I'll tell you, it will not get any easier later. And I highly suggest you see more of the world, get some new experiences while you're this age, especially if you grew up sheltered and you got married too young and you're thrust into adulthood a little bit too early for, like you said, the wrong reasons. So go for it. Bon voyage. I traveled a ton in my 20s and even in my early 30s. And now it's like as soon as the business started kicking up and I got a house and I'm married now, I travel a lot, but I can't pick up and go somewhere for 3 months. I just can't do it. I'd have to rearrange so many things in my life to make that work that I don't prioritize it.
You'd have to give your producer so much more extra work to let you go.
I would.
We've tried it with you for a month and a half and it did work, but 3 months, no, you're never going anywhere. You're staying home forever.
I hear you.
I think at 24, I mean, my life didn't really start till I was 25, and then I really started traveling. So I think anything before 25 is just a wash. And she's already even got marriage out of the way, so she knows that road not to go down for a while. And it is the perfect time to just do whatever is going to make you happy. Travel. Go see as much as you can, especially if you work for an airline. And that airline has to have other branches that you can transfer to. I mean, if they don't, then work for another airline if that's what really tickles your fancy. But get out. Go as fast as possible.
Great advice, man. This episode is sponsored in part by Roan. You should never have to question your gear, which is exactly why Roan created the Salient Running Short Sleeve Shirt. And frankly, look, this is a great shirt. I love everything that Roan makes. Jen buys me Roan stuff all the time. I buy Roan stuff for myself all the time. It's really well made. It doesn't pill. It doesn't feel plasticky, but it does have that sort of, you know, sporty fabric feel where you can kind of, if you're traveling, you can rinse it out in a hotel sink and hang it up in the room and it'll be dry when you get back. You know, you can run in it, work out in it, doesn't stink, especially because they run this silver tech threads, which essentially is like a silver infused fabric that naturally fights the man stink. So they weave that directly into the shirt, especially the Salient running thing. And Salient is the first FDA determined fabric to promote blood flow, increase energy, endurance, performance, Check it out at roane.com. That's R-H-O-N-E.com. And our listeners receive an exclusive offer, 15% off their first purchase. That's you, with the use of the promo code Jordan at checkout. R-H-O-N-E.com. Use Jordan at checkout to get that 15% off. Check out the commuter pants, the Salient running short sleeve shirt, or pretty much anything else these guys make, and you will be happy. This episode is brought to you in part by Skillshare. My wife loves Skillshare. Jeez, there's so much stuff on here, by the way, of course. First of all, it's an online learning platform with over 20,000 classes in business, marketing, tech, design, and more. Jen did something like organize your bookshelf, and she was doing that for the weekend, and there was all this DIY stuff on there that she got into. You can learn about video editing. You can learn about audio editing. She's doing that now. You can take classes in social media marketing, data science, web development. You name it, they've got it. I mean, 20,000 classes. I challenge you to find something they don't have, and if they don't have it, you should make it and make some money with them because they got that going on too. So whether you're trying to deepen your professional skill set, you're trying to start a side hustle, you're trying to explore a new passion, you want to organize that bookshelf, Skillshare is there to help keep you learning and thriving. And like I said, my wife is super obsessed with this thing. It's really, really fun to use. It'll suck you right in a good way. I mean, look, you're learning. It can't be bad. Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for my listeners. Get 2 months of Skillshare for 99 cents. That's right. Skillshare is offering the Jordan Harbinger Show listeners 2 months of unlimited access to over 20,000 classes for 99 cents. To sign up, go to Skillshare.com/Jordan. That's Skillshare.com/Jordan. 2 months for 99 cents. Skillshare.com/Jordan. Next up.
Hey, Jordan and Jason. I've been a huge fan of your show, and I've been listening for a long time. I especially love the shows with people like Stephen Rombaum, Bill Browder, and Joshua Fruth. All the criminal finance stuff is super interesting to me. You see, I really want to get into forensic accounting. I'm going to school, on my way to get my CPA, and doing everything I can to do academically. The problem is, I don't know anyone in the field, and I know from listening to this show that who you know can make a big difference in success. So my question is, how do I start making connections with people in this career when I have no foundations? Sincerely, account me in.
Oh, clever. All right. So this is a good plan. Getting started now is important, especially in a field like this, which is a subfield of a larger, broader industry like accounting. You have to dig the well before you're thirsty. You should be familiar with that concept by now, having listened to the show for even just a few weeks or years. You've heard it a million times. Cold outreach is a great way to do this. You can really asking for referrals in your network. You can use things like LinkedIn. If I were in your situation right now, I would make a list of people that you find in the criminal finance world, and I would reach out to people like Joshua Fruth and say, heard you on the Jordan Harbinger show, want to get into the industry. What would you do if you were in my position? Strike up conversations with him. Ask him if he knows other people in that world to whom you could ask questions. You're going to find an in based on doing that. And all you need to do at that point is follow those leads. If you go to advancedhumandynamics.com and you click on level one, there are scripts there for outreach. There are scripts there for reaching out to guys like Fruth that you sort of know from the show. There are scripts there for cold outreach. There are ways to follow up. This stuff is important, and digging the well now before you're thirsty and trying to get a foothold in the industry is a great way to do it. I highly recommend taking action. And like I said, reach out to Joshua. Literally do it. He'll be stoked to hear from you.
And a little bit of trivia here, which I thought was pretty funny, that he mentioned the Steve Rombaum episode.
Oh, yeah.
That was literally the first show that you and I co-hosted together when I joined the previous show.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. Yeah. That was a long time ago, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was a huge fan of Rombaum, and you're like, come on, you can do it, co-host with me. And then we did it together, and it was just a ton of fun. So I appreciate you letting me join the team for that one. That was a ton of fun.
Wow, and now here we are.
Here we are.
All right, next up.
Hi, Jordan and Jason. I wanted both your advice on how to professionally and fairly go about making a price increase on my services. I'm a solo entrepreneur in residential cleaning and have a wait list of referrals. I've got it all down to an art. I'm punctual, consistent, and quick, and while maintaining the quality my clients love. I really value my job. I get to listen to podcasts and audiobooks most days while I work. I set my own schedule and hours, and I answer to myself. However, given my experience in the field, 9 years, and quality of work I provide, I don't feel my rates are high enough. I want to give myself an hourly raise. I'm not sure how to go about doing this without sounding like I'm trying to sell my reasoning to my clients. I just want to sound confident. Any tips on how to prepare my notice on the cost increase? Should I set the increase for an arbitrary date, or should I make the commencement date January 1st, 2019? Any advice is valuable at this time. Thank you both. P.S. You two make my day. Jordan, for your quick wit and honesty, and Jason, for your more tender take on things and always being so kind and a good example to Jordan. I kind of pick up that you're his rock and that he doesn't thank you enough for all you do.
No shit.
I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, you're
thank
wrong.
You both for thank you both for being who you are and sharing that with all of us. Sincerely, I want a raise.
You know, you could have cut that part out of the question, but you left it in there. Gee, I wonder why you did that.
Because I'm the producer.
Yep, that's your artistic license. All right.
Yes, it is.
So do give yourself a raise. Give your clients enough notice and transparency. Here's how it'll sound. So I'll just number this out. One, hi, I've been with you as a cleaner for X number of months or years. Two, I've seen a dramatic uptick in business, which I hope is attributable to the quality of my service. Three, due to the amount of new business, I've had to take on some other administrative expenses in order to keep my services at the level you as a client would expect. And four, starting on, I don't know, let's say 60 days from now, whatever sort of notice period you want to do, 30, 60 days, our pricing will increase from X dollars an hour to X plus whatever dollars an hour, or however you price your services. Five, I look forward to working with you for many years to come. And here's the key step. Number six, this is important. P.S., please let me know if the increase in cost of services is not within your budget, and I will happily refer you to another professional colleague whose services are also second to none. That's really important. That is the key. Letting them know that if the increase in cost is not within their budget, you'll refer them to another person. This does a few things. A, it shows how long you've been around and how long they've been happy. B, it shows that other people are happy with you, so social proof. C, it gives them transparency into why you're increasing your rates, or at least one reason why. And D, it gives them notice, so you're not springing it on them last minute. You should also note on all of your invoices that the rates will go up and when the rates will go up, when that's going to happen. So they can't play dumb in 2 months when they say, oh, I never saw an email. You're just springing this on me. It's not fair. No, it's on all the invoices. You've seen it 4 times. Don't front. Also, last but not least, it solidifies you're interested in continuing to work with them, but not price them out deliberately. And it also shows this is an across-the-board price increase for everyone, and you're not giving anybody an exception or anything. And I realize that PS part, it sounds counterintuitive. Like, what? You're going to refer your own customers to someone else? Why would you do that? Here's why. You might make 1 to 2 referrals to someone else. You might even make a handful, maximum. This person who you refer to is going to love you forever. They're going to be able to help you out in a pinch. They might even help you generate business later down the line. But what will likely happen is that your current clients will see that you mean business. You're not bluffing. This is basically a polite way to say, my price increase isn't negotiable, and I'm basically firing people as clients who won't pay me my new rate, but I'm not going to leave you hanging. And most people aren't going to take you up on this. They're not going to ask for that referral. They trust you to do a good job. You're in their house. You don't steal. You don't break stuff. You actually do your job. This type of trust with someone who works in your home, that is not easily replaced. Most people will gladly pay additional funds to retain someone who does a good job and whom they can trust. So as scary as it sounds, if you've got a waiting list of new business, you should give yourself an upgrade. And if your existing clients won't get on board with that, then you can get them on board with another service provider without making them angry, without leaving them hanging, and without having to hold on to a client who's just being cheap and not paying you what you're worth. Now, let me know when you're ready to send me a check for my consulting services, and I'll get you my address.
That's so funny. I'm going to use this on some of my clients soon. So actually, this is really good advice. I'm going to take your advice, believe it or not.
I'm not sure if I wanted. Now I'm a little nervous. Shoot.
Trust me, Jordan. I won't be on my invoice.
All right, let's do it. Next up.
Dear Jordan, I wanted to offer some gentle, constructive criticism. You have a verbal tic, which I noticed in spades in your episode with Vanessa Van Edwards. You call men guys, but women females. Not 100% of the time, obviously, but often, and it's hurting your podcast. I know you don't mean to do this. You are so awesome and respectful, but here is how it sounds. Clinical and dehumanizing, because female can refer to any species and does not typically refer to humans, especially not as a noun. If that sounds hyperbolic, try saying males instead of guys in that same conversation. See how weird that sounds? It's kind of like calling someone a white or a black, to borrow from an intersectional issue. While discussing human dynamics does lend itself to more clinical language, here at least it's a one-sided choice and registers instead as frat boy nomenclature reinforcing rape culture.
Ah, wow. That's a little harsh, but okay, continue.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah.
Again, I know you don't mean to do that, but I also know I'm not the only woman who notices. Maybe you want to try consciously substituting women, ladies, or gals into those speech patterns instead. Also, I would love it if you could share this as a sort of public service announcement on Friday for other well-meaning folks who do the same thing. Additionally, I know I'm pushing my luck here, it might be worthwhile to craft an episode about troubleshooting being part of the patriarchy in a Me Too era. I hope this helps. Francesca, friendly feminist fan. And she added a few links that we'll put in the show notes for further reference.
Okay, cool. Yeah, Jezebel and BuzzFeed. All right, yep. Well, we'll see. Look, honestly, I struggle with this sometimes. I'm probably not going to do a patriarchy episode because I really, that's sort of out of my wheelhouse here. But I have tried ladies, gals, females, but I really should just stick with women because it always sounds confusing no matter what I say. And I do realize that females sounds a bit bro. I never had thought about that before I started getting feedback like this, and I got some recently. And I think it's partly the Me Too era is causing people to be more sensitive about this, and rightfully so if it's making people feel uncomfortable or weird. I also realize that gals and ladies can sound patronizing.
We've actually gotten feedback to that point. We've gotten a lot of emails in when you call women gals, people complain. I mean, we got a lot of feedback on that before. And I know that's why you stopped using that word just from knowing you for so long. So that's why you kind of went outside of using gals all the time, even guys and gals together. But gals, we got so much feedback on that it became a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of men have this problem recently, like I said. And there are tons of women who never think about this stuff. And then there are other women like Francesca who think about it all the time. In any case, though, I appreciate you caring enough to write in about this, although I can't promise this one will stick for me right away. Jason's going to kick my butt and make sure that this does work out in the way that it's supposed to. I'll tell you, though, this question, this feedback brings up a lot of confusing stuff for men because I think universally, us guys are like, wait, what the hell is okay now? And there's a lot of pushback on this, but I also think it's okay to have, I don't like to overuse the word revolution, but it's okay to have evolution in words that we're allowed to use. For example, when I grew up, you were allowed to say, that's where the blacks live. And now you don't do that. And if someone says that and they're 70 years old, most people aren't going to get offended. But if you do it and you're 25, you should probably know better. And so I'm all about trying to figure this out in a way that everybody can be made happy. On the other hand, I also worry about the slippery slope kind of going down the Jordan Peterson route here with some of this stuff. So these are weird times where a lot of this stuff can really have negative connotations. And I think there's a problem because there's almost no right way to do this. There's a very thin line. And if you step off of it, you can really get your ass handed to you. So I appreciate the kid gloves with this note. And I would encourage people to be a little bit more understanding on both sides of the fence, frankly, because I think that if you try to police this language too much, it could become a big problem. But I also don't think that doesn't mean we should try at all. And so, I don't know. It's a balance, and it's a tough one, especially for somebody who speaks in public to try to get it right. Recommendation of the week. Jason, have you seen Top Spin?
I've seen Top Gun.
No, it was about a little different. Top Spin is about table tennis, which I thought, oh, this is going to be so dense. But it's about these kids who are trying out for the Olympics. It's freaking fascinating. And they're watching them play is crazy. I mean, these are kids who leave school at noon, travel all over the world to play table tennis. It's really kind of an isolating sport, and they're just incredible at this. Competition is insane. Obviously, the Chinese dominate this kind of sport. And even in the United States, the top players are Asian American women, a lot of them. It's just an incredible kind of look into this thing we never think about at all. It's called Top Spin. It's on Netflix. I know it sounds weird, but it's really, really interesting and good. I think you'll like it.
All right, I'll check it out.
Hope you all enjoyed that. I want to thank everyone that wrote in this week. Don't forget, you can email us friday@jordanharbinger.com to get your questions answered on the air. We're happy to keep you anonymous. And please keep them short if you can. And if you can't, just realize that anything over a few sentences or paragraphs is going to be harder for us to answer, which means it might not get answered at all. So try to toe that line between enough information and way too effing much.
Yeah, we don't need the life history of your hamster just to make a point for the basis of your question. We've actually had that. That's okay.
Oh, yeah, we did. We got that. That was real. A link to the show notes for this episode can be found at jordanharbinger.com. Quick shout out to Nadia in Saudi Arabia. She's listening to the show. I thought we were banned there. I know we were blocked in Dubai, or at least we were. So anyway, shukran for listening. And Vic, who went to my elementary school, recently found the show, was surprised to hear that the kid who used to hang out at the top of the jungle gym is now streaming into his ears during his long runs and mountain climbing expeditions. He's climbed all the top peaks on every continent. That's no small Whoa. Feat. That's insane, right? Crazy.
Crazy.
Come a long way from the jungle gym, Vic. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Jordan Harbinger. It's a great way to engage with the show. And Jason, tell them where to find you.
I'm on Instagram at JPD, Twitter as JPDef, and you can check out my other podcast, Grumpy Old Geeks, every Monday.
So keep sending in those questions to friday@jordanharbinger.com. Before I bounce, I want to let everybody know about this conference I'm going to in Canada. It's called the Fireside Conference. So the website is firesideconf, like conference.com/Jordan. We have 16 spots earmarked for people from the Jordan Harbinger Show community. Your application skips to the front of the waiting list. You get $500 off. It's an invite-only, all-inclusive retreat for top-performing entrepreneurs, founders, innovators, influencers, media. It's about 3 hours from Toronto, Canada, on 750 acres of private green space on an awesome lake. So some of the people going, top angel investors, best-selling authors, futurists, founders and CEOs of some fast-growing global startups, investors from North America's top VC firms. It's limited to 400 people. They sell it out. This year, we're inviting an additional 100 people to apply and attend and be part of the incredible community. And so you should check this out. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be speaking. Jason, you're going to be there too, eh?
I'm going to be there. So you can come and commiserate with me while Jordan's speaking, and I'm carrying his bags.
There you go. Yes. Firesideconf.com/Jordan. It's September 6th through 9th, 2018. September 6th through 9th. It's going to be super fun, and I can't wait.
I can't wait either. This is going to be a blast.
Keep sending those questions to friday@jordanharbinger.com. Share the show with those you love and even those you don't. We got a lot more in the pipeline. I'm excited, and Jason is also excited, to bring it to you. And in the meantime, do your best to apply what you hear on the show so you can live what you listen. And we'll see you next time. This episode also sponsored in part by Shaq. Well, kinda. Have you checked out the big podcast with Shaq lately? Of course, Shaq and the team talk basketball and sports, but it's not all about sports. Shaq talks movies, TV, music, what's happening in his life, maybe a little gossip. Some of his past guests include Chris Webber, Rob Gronkowski, and Rob Riggle. Make sure you check out the big podcast with Shaq every Monday exclusively on Apple Podcasts, the Podcast One app, and podcastone.com.